What an incredible time of worship with the youth band this morning. How about we commit this time in prayer right now? Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. We thank you for the power of the cross. Reflecting on Easter last week, Lord, there's no one like you, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of worship. And although we can't gather as one body here in the same building, we can gather in many places and still lift up the name of Jesus. This morning, we just thank you to be a part of it. Your presence would be tangible in every room, in every place this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, church, it's so good to be in your living room. The youth, if you haven't already figured it out, are taking over the service, and I'm excited to bring the message to you this week. Well, hey, on Friday night and also this week, we've had our youth launch week. If you're a young person that's in church at the moment, look, get them involved in some area. On Friday night, we had our XO Live. If you don't know what that stands for, it stands for Extra Online Live on YouTube. We had such an amazing time together. If you've got a young person, you know a young person, get them involved in that night. We're going to be preaching the word. We're going to have the youth band like we did today, bringing worship, and we're just going to have some fun. It's important that we keep things light and be a positive voice and influence in young people's lives at the moment. Today, I'm super excited and honored to bring the word on behalf of Pastor Brad and Kim Otto, who run the church here at Co-Church. We just want to extend our warm welcome to you, and we want to say we miss you guys so much. It doesn't feel the same not preaching and sharing the message with our whole church family and worshiping together. But hey, God's word is still true, and we're still going to preach the word this morning. My message title this morning is on Jesus, our champion. Jesus, our champion. I love stories of champions, don't you? I think we can all think of a story or a movie that we've all seen that we really enjoy. For me personally, around about 12 years old, my favorite movies were about, and they still are really, come on, let's be honest, Mighty Ducks. We had Rockies, all of the Rockies. I think it's 1 to 6, including the Christmas-themed Rocky. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. Go and watch it. Christmas-themed Rocky. What else we got here? We got Braveheart. Love Braveheart. Blindside. Blindside's going to be one of my favorite movies of all time. And Die Hard. Look, Die Hard, controversial movie. Is it a Christmas movie? Yes, it is. Is it a champions movie? Yes, he is. Okay, Bruce Willis is the man. I love Die Hard. I love movies that represent the story of a champion. I think as Australians, we love the story of an underdog. We love the story of the people's champion, a person that rises from the community to become the champ. I'll never forget a period of my life. I was training quite a bit, 12 years old, for different sports in school. And on my weekends, when I had a bit of spare time, free time, I used to love re-watching all the Rocky movies, especially the part in the training montages. There's nothing else. You can't convince me there's anything else better than watching a training montage of Rocky if you want to motivate yourself to do something. And we used to have it on the old VCR tapes. You put it in, you had to fast forward it. And those were the days, fast forward in front of the TV, and I'd be glued to the TV watching this training montage, getting fired up, and then the fight would come on, and I'd just imagine myself in the fight, ducking and weaving with Rocky. And it was really interesting over the 6 movies, all the different people he faced, you know, it's like the rapper, WWE, the whole of Russia at some point. It was very, very funny watching it back a few weeks ago. But and then at the very end of the fight, as we see the champion arise, Rocky, I'd always, you know, rewind it again and watch it all over again. Those movies, they call out really the champion that's inside of us. It's a natural thing that we have, that whenever we see someone that is of a champion, or we're watching someone that resembles a champion, it calls to something inside of us. There's something about the passion of a champion that calls to the champion inside of us. Believer or non-believer, there is something about a person with goodwill and ambition, standing victorious after a struggle of good cause, that calls to the very nature of who we are. A champion that rises to the occasion when the circumstances is out of our hands, when there's no hope, when the end seems far, when we are surrounded, a champion rises to the top and calls us to the level they have achieved. Why don't we head to our first scripture this morning in Hebrews 12, verses 2. It says in the NLT, We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, the passion, the love that he had for you and me. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, the shame of a public humiliating execution. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Church, we have a champion. A champion that surpassed all rivals. A champion that fought on behalf of our rights. A champion that elevated humanity, established equal rights. A champion that went out ahead, took the victory, and didn't just move on, but he ran to us and calls us out too. Today, I want to look at the three phases of a champion. The three phases you'll find yourself in if you want to pursue greatness that is on your life through Jesus. You might be looking at the screen today wondering why I'm preaching a message on champions during a time of isolation. You know, a time when the NRL, the AFL, the NFL are all closed down. The state of origin might not be happening. The Bogans everywhere are upset. And we're in isolation. There's no chance of even watching anything to do with championships, let alone thinking about being one. We see in the Bible an unlikely champion, an underdog, a man that was used to isolation. King David, the shepherd who became king, he spent his youth in isolation. Some of us are saying right now, I've had enough of isolation. I miss my friends. I miss my family. You know, miss youth. I miss opening the doors and watching young people run down the front. I miss being in the mosh pit, praise and worshiping with everyone, delivering a message here. I miss being with family. Times are tough. Businesses are closing. Some families are finding it hard to deal with close quarters. And that's all right. You know, people are out of work. We've been forced into this phase for good reason, given the outbreak of a deadly disease. We can't ignore the fact that the world is in crisis and will probably look different when we're given the green light to go back. But I think we've seemed to have forgotten, probably about 6 months ago, you're probably craving the very thing that you're in right now, a bit of time away. I want to briefly look today at what the Bible says about this subject of isolation. The benefits, let's not overlook the benefits given through such a season as this. Now, when I say benefits, I don't mean, the whole population of Australia now, utilizing the eating habits of a cow grazing in the fridge each day. I'm guilty. I'm now a grazer, not a 3-meal-a-day person. Or those funny home videos that you are now blessing the world with. We love them. No, I believe God places isolation at the start of this process. Because being a champion, a leader, a pioneer, maybe for your family, your workforce, your career, your church, your marriage, your life can be one of the loneliest places you will find yourself in. Write down the first phase if you haven't already, and that is isolate. The shepherd boy David didn't see isolation as a restraint, but as a refinery. It was God's workbench for his character. God took him away to prepare and to refine David for the challenges of what a champion is going to look like and would endure. In fact, David didn't go through a single isolation period, but many over the course of his life. When he was on the run from his king Saul at the time, he found himself in a cave with a band of merry men. And on another occasion when his son overthrew the throne and he found himself fleeing again and found himself in isolation. David found himself encountering isolation at different points in his life. Both forced isolation seasons similar to the season we're in right now. However, it didn't hinder him. His character grew. God enlarged his heart. God showed him a deeper revelation. And you know what? Leave it up to God himself in ISO to increase his influence, even in isolation. Logic would say that your influence should decrease when you're in isolation. David's influence grew. How David handled himself in ISO, as we now have coined it, drew people to him. Let me ask you a question today. Is the way that you're handling yourself drawing people to you for the glory of God? Are you reacting to the situation or are you responding to the season that you're in? You see, David, when faced with a crisis, drew on what he learned in his isolation years. You know, let's read what he says when confronted with a crisis. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36, it says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard, struck him and killed him. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like all of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God.'" Can you hear the champion inside David rising up in the face of crisis? This is a response in confidence, not a reaction in fear. I'm fully convinced that when God calls you into isolation, when he invites you to come and sit with him for a while, alone and away from distraction, he is preparing you for something. David was a champion. He was a warrior. He was a king before he ever stepped foot in a palace or on a battlefield. Why? Because he had learned what it meant to be a champion in private before God showed the kingdom what a champion looked like in public. An unlikely champion, a young boy, a shepherd. Something catches the ear of David. For 40 days and for 40 nights, the Philistines had encamped around the Israelites. And out from them rose a giant, their champion, Goliath, the world's champion. Sometimes the world will show us what their champion, what our champion should look like. But we know we have a champion in Jesus Christ. Write down the second phase of being a champion, and that is this: engage. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11, Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across to the Israelites, "Why are you all coming out to fight?" He taunted the people of God. The same way sin taunts humanity today. You can't get over that addiction. That problem you're in, you'll never get out. You won't ever get out of that rut. But David, listening to this on the sidelines, I can just imagine the question bubbling up and eating away and grating at his spirit, repeating itself over and over. Why hasn't anyone done something about this yet? David, an unlikely champion, just like Jesus. You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus, he was a common looking man, an unlikely champion. Like David, the last pick of the family. David sent out to the front lines by his father to feed his brothers, just like Jesus was sent out to the front lines to feed his people. David, fed up with the taunts against his people, makes the decision to face Goliath. He walks out onto the battlefield, and it says in the Bible in 1 Samuel 17, 45, "You come against me with a sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head." And in verse 48, it says that David ran to meet the giant with purpose, with intent, just like Jesus ran toward humanity from heaven with purpose to save humanity. In John 3 verses 16, we all know this scripture, and it says this: "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son out of love." David fought out of love for his people, his family, his heavenly father. In the same way that Jesus, he endured the cross, passion for you, love for you and for me drove him toward the face of death. Just like David was drawn to the same fate out of love for his heavenly father and his people. It says that David, when he got onto the battlefield, when he faced Goliath, when he ran towards Goliath, he flung that rock and hit Goliath in the forehead and dropped him, just to make sure that there was no chance that Goliath could come back to taunt his people. God, he drew Goliath's sword and severed his head. Just like our champion Jesus, severed the head of the snake, destroying its power once and for all. And to leave no doubt, he rose again victorious for you and for me. It says, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they fled. Then the men of Israel and Judah sprang up with a battle cry and pursued them to the approaches of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Write down the third phase of a champion, and that is to inspire. A champion inspires. The champion inspires the champion inspired other people. Just like Jesus, he champions us. In John 14, verses 12, it says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." We have a champion in Jesus Christ, the one who went out before us and seized victory. You know, we've just had Easter weekend, and it's really important to reflect on the incredible events that happened over the weekend. Jesus dying on the cross for us, and then the third day rising again to claim victory for us. It should be an every day, every weekend thing that we celebrate as Christians. And I think as we move forward on from Easter, looking as to how this impacts our life, we have a champion. And no matter what circumstance may come our way, we have a hope, we have an example, and we have a standard in Jesus Christ. If you want to know your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, if you want to know this great friend that we have, I'd like to invite you to say this prayer with us this morning. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'd like to invite you to connect with us on our webpage. We'd love to connect with you and be with you on the start of this amazing journey. Church, why don't I pray as we close the service this morning? And let's do that now. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you for your incredible son, Jesus, that he ran out, ran to us with open arms, our champion. Lord, we just thank you for the incredible gift that you've given to us right now. Lord, the standard that you've set for us. God, I thank you that each and every day as we walk in our lives, we remember the hope and the promise you've given us. Lord, you champion us to be the best that we can be. You champion the gift that is inside every individual listening to this right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you'd be with us as we go throughout this week. And in isolation, Lord, let us not waste this time, but Lord, grow us. Lord, give us a deeper revelation of who you are. And Lord God, I just thank you that you'd strengthen the family more than ever. You strengthen the marriage more than ever. For that person who is on the fringes today, I call them out. And Lord, I just say, Lord, I just thank you that you would be with them in this time. Lord, that you would advance your church even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church.